This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day to take a look at the legacy of what might have been a great man. Or was he? We haven't talked a great deal about Mikhail Gorbachev, the late leader. And yes, he was a dictator like the other dictators before him, except very, very different in some ways. Which is what Paul Kengor writes about in an utterly fascinating piece. I always enjoy what Professor Kengor writes. He is the Senior Director and Chief Academic Fellow for the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College. He's also a Professor of Political Science at Grove City. He is also a best-selling author. His most recent piece begins that I have written so much, he's talking about himself now, about Mikhail Gorbachev in so many articles and books that it's impossible to try to sum up the man's life and legacy. And one of the reasons for that is there's still a big mystery about Gorbachev that nobody knows, really, the answer to, maybe not even Paul Kengor. Paul, thanks for joining us. And first off, were you at all surprised at the news that Putin announced that he will not attend the funeral of Mikhail Gorbachev, his predecessor as Russian leader?
Yeah, I'm not surprised, Michael. And, you know, I don't know what exactly Gorbachev's view was on Putin toward the end, although somebody tipped me off today and said, hey, you need to read the piece in the New York Times. I guess there's a piece in the Times on that today. But I sort of followed him on Putin over the years when Putin first came in, March of 2000. And you can see Gorbachev, you know, kind of like a lot of us and myself, frankly. I mean, at first I thought, well, Putin here, I mean, this guy wants a 15% flat tax rate. he's putting the first restrictions on abortion in Russia since Stalin, of all people. You know, the guy doesn't seem to be a communist. I think I like this guy. And, you know, then he just kind of slowly got worse and worse and worse and worse. And I think that's where Gorbachev got to as well in his assessment of Putin. And Putin didn't like that, obviously. Now, I will say one thing, they throw kind of a wrench in all of this. And I quote this in the American Spectator piece. Mikhail Gorbachev never wanted the USSR to disintegrate. And in fact, in his resignation speech on December 25th, 1991, he said that he, quote, stood firmly for the preservation of the Union state, the unity of a country. He said events went a different way. The policy prevailed of dismembering this country and disuniting the state, with which I cannot agree, unquote. And ironically, that's Vladimir Putin's position of all things. But I don't know that that Gorbachev would have invaded Ukraine in the year 2022. Right after all of this. But now that said, Gorbachev in 1989-90 did use limited force in some of the Baltic states and Georgia, never on the scale of what Putin has done in the Ukraine, but ironically, in one sense, maybe I'd even write something about this, the one thing the two did kind of hold together, right, is that they wanted to hold together the USSR. Albeit in Gorbachev's case, you know, kinder, better, gentler USSR, you know, not a communist, totalitarian, Stalinist USSR.
Well, the striking thing is there were 15 Soviet socialist republics other than the Russian Federation. And all of the 15 achieved independence under Gorbachev. He clearly could have used the kind of force that Putin is using now. I mean, does anyone really believe that the Russians, since Gorbachev left, that under Yeltsin and then Putin that the Russians have built up their military, improved their military compared to where it was in the late 80s?
Well, it's a good question. And actually, by the late 80s, it was in pretty bad shape. In fact, after and this is another negative thing about Gorbachev, after a 10-year war in Afghanistan from, Christmas Day again, Christmas Day in 1979, when the Soviets invaded under Brezhnev, until Gorbachev pulled out the troops in 1989, their military got really hammered, and Gorbachev tried to win that war initially. In fact, one of the most tense moments in the history of Ronald Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev ever, and we now have the official MEMCONs, the Memoranda of Conversation, declassified and available from the Geneva Summit in November 1985. Reagan is sort of letting loose on Gorbachev from across the table, and he's reading stories about Red Army soldiers leaving booby-trapped toys for kids in Afghanistan, about the bombing of villages in Afghanistan by Russian gunships or helicopters. And Reagan barks at Gorbachev. He said, "Are you guys still trying to take over the world?" And Gorbachev got red in the face and yelled back at Reagan. Now, eventually, those two became quick buddies, so much so that Reagan was calling Gorbachev Mike by the end of the Geneva summit. But at first, that was Gorbachev tried to win that war, couldn't do it, and kind of like him trying to hold together the Soviet Union, these things got out of his control, unraveled to a point that he didn't expect, and we give him most credit, I guess, in the end for peacefully letting these things come apart. But he's a really complicated figure. And I must add here too, in his defense, the policy of glasnost with more religious freedom, freedom of the press, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, he did all of that. And that was great. He called off what, the wholesale war on religion, as he described what his predecessors did. And he also, and this was gigantic. In February of 1990, it was Gorbachev who removed Article 6 from the Soviet Constitution, which granted the Communist Party of the Soviet Union the exclusive political monopoly as the only legalized political power in all of the Soviet Union. Gorbachev changed that. Reagan didn't do that. Gorbachev did that.
Okay,
so he's this really mixed bag.
The one question that you pose in your article under American Spectator, and we're very glad to link it at our website at michaelmedved.com so people can read for yourself, is you're the senior director of the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College. When it comes to freedom, I think obviously the record is very mixed on Gorbachev. When it comes to faith, it's another matter in terms of calling off, as you just put it, the war against religion that the Russians, the Soviets had been waging since 1917 and 1918. And what is fascinating here, and I've never read before, is all the speculation by people who knew him that he was a, as Reagan put it, a closet Christian, and that he may have had a deeper conversion later in life. All of that is fascinating because it does seem to have mattered to Mikhail Gorbachev. I'm speaking to Paul Kangor. He is the author of many books about the relationships of prime figures in ending the Cold War, including Ronald Reagan, Mikhail Gorbachev, and Pope John Paul II. We will be right back on the Michael Medved Show with more with Paul Kangor about faith and Mr. Gorbachev. Paul, you've written books about faith and Ronald Reagan. You've even written books about faith and leading Democrats. What about faith and Mikhail Gorbachev? We will be right back with Paul Kangor of Grove City College, coming right up. If you think Washington State's headed in the right direction, well, then this message is not for you. But if you're troubled by Washington moving toward more government control, income taxes, rent control, and centralized decision-making, now is the time for you to take action. At Washington Policy Center, we want free market reforms that make Washington the best place to raise a family, to get a job, or to start a business. WPC is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes, and its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Washington State is our home, and it needs WPC more than ever. Get off the sidelines. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listeners Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
Michael Medved Show, joined by Paul Kangor, who's Senior Director and Chief Academic Fellow for the Institute for Faith and Freedom of beautiful Grove City College in Grove City, Pennsylvania, where he is also a professor of political science. And he has written must-read books about President Reagan and about Pope John Paul II, particularly about their friendship. And he also developed, President Reagan, something of a friendship with Mikhail Gorbachev, as Professor Kangor just explained to us. He got to know him well enough to call him Mike, which which is interesting to think about. But President Reagan also had come to believe that Gorbachev was a believer in a higher power and may even have been at the time of his premiership in Russia. He may have been a believing Christian. What gave him that impression?
Yeah, in fact, Ronald Reagan really became obsessed with this, Michael. And there was a number of different references that Gorbachev made to Reagan during these meetings. He would say things like, "Well, God bless you, and we're here. Thank God, maybe we could, by the grace of God, bring peace." All these other different references. He said these things all the time, and it really struck Ronald Reagan. And you got to think back to the fact that, you know, this was, as Reagan rightly called it, the evil empire, right? I mean, Soviet leaders were supposed to be atheists. That's how it was. Michael Deaver, who was one of Reagan's closest aides, said that Reagan called him as soon as he got back from Geneva, excited. He wanted to talk to Mike directly. And he said to him, he said, "Mike, He believes. In fact, I heard Deaver actually talk about it. He said it that way. So Reagan said, "He believes." And Deaver knew immediately what Reagan was talking about. And he said, "Do you mean to say that you're telling me that the General Secretary of the Soviet Union believes in God?" And then Reagan walked it back just a little bit. He said, "Well, I don't know, Mike, but I honestly think the guy believes in a higher power." And I should add here, too, that this was something that not only Reagan became fascinated by, Reagan almost obsessed by, but Pope John Paul II, the same way. He thought that Gorbachev might have been a believer. He later told people that he thought Gorbachev was a, quote, providential man, unquote. And by that, John Paul II seemed to think that Gorbachev, whether he believed in God or not, was maybe an instrument of a higher power that had come in to bring faith back to the USSR. And there's a remarkable meeting. What was the date? December 1st, 1989. And it was at the Vatican. And Mikhail Gorbachev visited the Vatican. He was the first and only Soviet leader ever to visit the Vatican. And we now have the declassified transcript of this, too. He and John Paul II met for about 70 minutes. They talked alternately in Russian and Polish, because John Paul II could speak like seven different languages. And people who watched this said Gorbachev was practically shaking. He was so nervous about this. And John Paul II sort of put him at ease. They end up holding this really good conversation. And then at the end of all of it, when Gorbachev is kind of calmed down, they walk out of the Vatican Library. Gorbachev introduces John Paul II to his wife, Raisa, who we knew was an atheist, pretty hardcore atheist. And he said, "Raisa, I introduce you to His Holiness Pope John Paul II. Besides being the highest moral authority on earth, he's a slob, just like us." And John Paul II laughed and said, yes, I'm the first Slavic pope. And then he said, "I'm sure that Providence paved the way for this meeting." And we don't know what the response was of Raisa and Gorbachev at that point, but Gorbachev over the years would come to seemingly be more and more sympathetic to religion. And I talk about this in the Spectator piece. Of all things, a London Telegraph reporter is walking through Assisi in Italy in early March 2008, and he walks by the tomb of St. Francis, and he looks down and he sees what he thinks is Mikhail Gorbachev on his knees praying. And he said to him, "I'm sorry, sir, I know this is a special moment, but aren't you Mikhail Gorbachev?" And Gorbachev says, yes, I am Mikhail Gorbachev. And he said, what are you doing here? And very soon, a few days after that, the Telegraph reported in a story that Mikhail Gorbachev had become a Christian, maybe a Catholic, perhaps. And then just a few days after that, Gorbachev came out publicly and said, "No, I have not become a Christian. I have not become a believer. I'm still an atheist." But this is something that has always intrigued people about Gorbachev. Until the day he died, just a few days ago, I don't think he ever told anybody what he really believed about a higher power.
Well, we know at the funeral that that Putin is not going to make it. He says he's too busy losing the war. God willing. No, he says he's too busy. And I can imagine that. I mean, obviously he's got a lot on his plate right now.
Right.
But is there any talk of any religious elements that any family members or because I don't even know. Is there any indication that any of the – they had children, right, Raisa and Mikhail?
Yeah, I think they had one or two. And they – I just read a really long biography of Gorbachev by William Taubman. I wrote a review of it for a Claremont Review of Books, and I complained that in that 1,000-page tome, I learned everything about Gorbachev except his faith. And this is what happens with a lot of these secular historians. They don't care about faith.
And there's evidence that Gorbachev's family, like his mother, was a faithful Christian, wasn't she?
That's right. In fact, her name was Maria. She secretly baptized Gorbachev. Three of his four grandparents were believers. The grandmother, the mother would pull a cross from the mantle above the fireplace and bless him with it when he was young. And Gorbachev told Reagan about this. Gorbachev told John Paul II about it. So we know all of those things too. Stalin's daughter ended up becoming a Christian. She was converted through Malcolm Muggeridge, but Malcolm Muggeridge got to know her and used to talk about it. In fact, she died just, I think, about a year ago, Michael, right? That was pretty recent. So you never know. I don't know where the rest of the family was, but I talked to people who talked to Gorbachev, including Michael Reagan. Michael Reagan asked him point blank one time when Michael Reagan was with him. This was a public forum. He said, "Tell me, what do you believe about God?" And he just dodged the question.
Paul Kangor never dodges questions, and you can read his outstanding piece, Mikhail Gorbachev Meets His Maker, and you can meet more of Paul Kangor. Go to michaelmedved.com and the link toward his latest contribution from Grove City College. We'll be right back.
Listens to radio at night. EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The legal battle between the Justice Department and former President Trump is over in a Florida courtroom. The judge declining to rule from the bench regarding Trump's request for a special master. The judge saying a ruling will come in due time. The International Atomic Energy Agency wraps up a visit to a power plant just outside of Zaporizhzhia, Ukraine, Thursday. Speaking at a checkpoint outside the city, IAEA Chief Rafael Grossi admits he still has concerns about potential radiation leak.
I worry and I will continue to be worried about the plant until we have a situation which is more stable.
President Biden and the First Lady heading to Philadelphia, where the President will deliver a primetime address at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. USA Radio News.
Do you experience fatigue when you know you should have energy? One reason fatigue can occur is due to a lack of antioxidants in the body. This deficiency happens the older we get, or due to eating an unhealthy diet, or even due to exercise. Your body's number one antioxidant is glutathione. When your cells are depleted of glutathione, you will be fatigued, inflamed, possibly depressed, and may also feel pain. Empirical results indicate that consuming green metal whey protein powder is the most effective means of increasing glutathione production. Green metal whey supplies nature's richest source of the precursor to making glutathione within the trillions of cells of your body. This protein strongly supports the cell's ability to make glutathione. Add to this that green metal whey also supports immunity, energy, lean muscle development, fat loss, and has anti-cancer properties, and you have nature's most complete and strongest superfood. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Let's face it, food shortages are a real threat now. Supply chain breakdowns, inflation, fuel prices, global conflicts, fertilizer cutbacks, farmers being encouraged not to plant. The stage is set for the peanut butter to hit the fan. But for some reason, Americans are still in denial about food shortages. Listen, we don't take risks with other things in our lives, so why take risks with your food security? Those who know what's coming are using today to prepare. Millions of Americans have purchased Ready Hour emergency food from My Patriot Supply, the brand people look for when they're ready for real preparedness. MyPatriotSupply.com is America's largest preparedness company. Get stocked up on emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage to get you through tough times ahead. Your other choice is to stand in government food lines hoping for a handout. As we both know, that's not an option. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Breaking news, there are two new sentences that are being handed out regarding the January 6th riots. And you may say, oh no, January 6th again. Well, when you have 140 police officers who received serious medical attention, some of whom were permanently damaged and injured by the violence, it is and remains a serious problem with serious consequences for the leading participants. The former New York City Police Department officer who attacked, and you can watch the video, I mean, it's pretty clear, he attacked police during the Capitol Hill riot, received the longest January 6th sentence so far, 10 years. 10 years. A jury in May found Thomas Webster guilty of assaulting a D.C. officer with a flagpole and also convicted him of other charges, including disorderly conduct and violent conduct while carrying a deadly or dangerous weapon on the Capitol grounds. Webster argued self-defense at his trial. And the fact that he was a former officer actually counted against him in the sense that it made it very clear that he had to understand that what he was doing was illegal and immoral. Attacking your fellow police officers because they are doing their job and defending the Capitol building is appalling. I don't know when he will be eligible for parole with his 10-year sentence. Also, there's an individual named Julian Cater, who admitted he used chemical spray on officers defending the Capitol, including Brian Sicknick, who was injured while attempting to hold back a violent crowd, and he collapsed. Incorrectly said that Sicknick collapsed while attempting to hold back a violent crowd. He collapsed hours later. Pennsylvania man Cater pleaded guilty Thursday to a chemical spray assault on three police officers in the January 6, 2021 Capitol attack, including Brian Sicknick, in a deal with federal prosecutors, Julian Cater, a smoothie shop owner of State College, Pennsylvania, that's where Penn State University is located, admitted to assaulting and injuring law enforcement officers with a dangerous weapon, along with co-defendant George Tanios. Cater had faced a 10-count indictment that included felony charges of rioting and obstructing Congress's confirmation of Joe Biden's 2020 election victory. Tanios pleaded guilty on July 27th of this year to reduced misdemeanor charges. This all is going on at the same time that there was a statement about the judge that everyone had been waiting for, a federal judge, according to the Wall Street Journal. Judge Eileen Cannon said she would make public a more detailed list of the items that the FBI took during its search last month. It is last month already. It was August 8th was the search. During its search of former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago home, opening the prospect of a much fuller picture of what documents might be among the classified material seized. Apparently no decision yet about the idea of a special master, which the Trump legal forces had called for. There is this, which I find fascinating. President Trump himself called directly into the TV network Real America's Voice to make sure that people know that he did not leave the papers on the floor, as was indicated by that now famous photograph that was provided by the Department of Justice. This is what President Trump had to say to Real America's Voice concerning the classified documents that were depicted in that photograph. Listen. Clip 20.
A lot of people think that when you walk into my office, I have confidential documents or whatever it may be, all declassified, but I had confidential documents spread out all over my floor. And like a slob, like I'm sitting there reading these documents all day long, or somebody else would be. It's so dishonest when you look at it. And so people were concerned because they said, gee, you know, that's a strange scene. You look at the floor and you see documents, right? They have cover sheets of documents. No, they put them there, John, and they put them there in a messy fashion. And then they took a picture and they released it to the public. And this is what we're dealing with these people.
Okay, there's actually a whole huge analysis of this now famous photograph, and it is a striking photograph. I think almost everyone has seen it. There are a bunch of documents where they have very clearly marked on them secret SCA, secret SCI, and secret. In other words, they are fairly clearly marked. And the New York Times reports the Justice Department used 35 pages of type in a court filing on Tuesday to provide new details of its investigation into former President Donald J. Trump's handling of hundreds of classified documents. But the most easily digestible element of the filing was appended at the end. It was a single photograph showing documents with secret and top secret markings arrayed on a patterned carpet. And they give the caption to the photograph at the New York Times. It says the folders were arrayed by agents at Mar-a-Lago. They were not found scattered on the floor, law enforcement officials said. So President Trump is accused of many things. He's not accused of being a slob, as he had just indicated. He'll be relieved to hear that. On Wednesday, Mr. Trump took to his social media site to say that the FBI, during the raid of Mar-a-Lago, threw documents haphazardly all over the floor, perhaps pretending that it was me that did it, and then started taking pictures of them for the public to see. But the genesis of the photograph appears to be in keeping with standard protocols for how federal agents handle evidence that they come across in a search. The folders were arrayed by agents of the Mar-a-Lago at Mar-a-Lago after being removed from what the filing indicated was Mr. Trump's private office, they were not discovered scattered on the floor, according to two federal law enforcement officials. The Justice Department would not comment on the specifics of the photograph, but it is standard practice for the FBI to take evidentiary pictures of materials recovered in a search to ensure that items are properly cataloged and accounted for. The marking of 2A on a folded piece of paper in the picture corresponds to a listing in the inventory of items seized in the search that was made public along with the search warrant. In that inventory, the item marked as 2A was described as various classified top secret SCI documents. One of the points that I think has been made here was that one element of the photo, as the Justice Department pointed out in its filing yesterday, is that none of the folders bear a label or a stamp or any inscription of any kind indicating that Mr. Trump had declassified them, as he has periodically claimed when asked about his retention of government materials requested by the National Archives. We will be right back with surprising results of another special election campaign, this one involving the celebrity known as Sarah Palin, coming up on the MedVet Show. Summertime, and a lot of Americans get more active. And when you get more active, sometimes that causes some aches and pain. Neck, shoulder, hip, knee. I mean, I had a sore arm for a while, but fortunately I also have Relief Factor. And more to the point, my wife, who is always more active than I am, she uses Relief Factor as well. It is a great, wholly natural, very healthy, scientifically proven pain reliever. It is, you have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. And right now, Relief Factor is still discounted at only $19.95 for what's called a quick start. So about a dollar a day to see if you can get out of pain in just a couple of weeks. And for the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can get out and stay out of pain. Check it out at michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner for Relief Factor. We've all heard the saying, safety in numbers. Well, think again. The IRS, the country's powerful tax collection agency, is on a hiring spree. They're bringing in 87,000 new agents. Now, no taxpayer at any income level is entirely safe from IRS scrutiny or, worse, a dreaded IRS audit. This is Michael Medved for AmFed Coin and Bullion. How safe are your accumulated savings and wealth from government examination and reach? Owning gold and silver is one of the best ways to keep your wealth in your own hands. Precious metals provide a layer of privacy that's not available through a bank account. When you own precious metals, only you and your dealer have knowledge of your purchase. Now, I buy all of my precious metals from my friend Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. Nick's been in this industry for 41 years, and he has established a reputation built on trust, transparency, integrity, and fair pricing. Call Nick and his team, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Are you watching your retirement savings melt away right in front of your eyes as the economy crumbles? Well, if you have an IRA, 401k, or similar account, I need to tell you about a better way that was revealed by a Wall Street Journal best-selling book. Simply put, you can opt out of the insanity and convert your existing retirement account into the most stable physical asset in history, physical gold and silver. Plus, this conversion might qualify you for an IRS loophole that could save you even more. Today, Advantage Gold is giving away a completely free audiobook version of the national bestseller, Gold is a Better Way. Just text the word better to 48542 to get your copy. That's B-E-T-T-E-R to 48542. By the time you drive home, this simple step may save the future value of your retirement. It's not too late if you're not prepared. You can take action now and claim a free copy. Text the word better to 48542. That's B-E-T-T-E-R to 48542. Message and data rates may apply.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Medved show, there are partisan Democrats out there who are saying, oh, look, another sign about the Democrats gathering force and gathering support and no red wave out there. It's going to be a blue wave. And part of that is supposed to be the big speech tonight by Joe Biden. It'll actually be preceded by a big speech from Kevin McCarthy, who can be an effective speaker. He has been in the past. We'll see how that goes. But the result of the congressional special election in Alaska, and I know it's complicated, but it's important to get it straight. Karl Rove had a very persuasive piece today in the Wall Street Journal about how media have, I think very predictably, sort of hyped up the gains that Democrats have made recently, and they're treating this election in Alaska the same way. Now, the truth of the matter is that about 60% of the votes that were cast in the election in Alaska were cast for one of two Republicans, either Sarah Palin or Nick Begich, who was her rival. But Sarah Palin ended up losing. What had happened here is that they have this ranked choice system, and I'll give you the essence of it. The Washington Post covers it this way. Democrat Mary Peltola has won the special election for the U.S. House in Alaska, defeating Republican Sarah Palin and becoming the first Alaska native. She's half native on her mother's side, to win a seat in Congress, as well as the first woman to clinch the state's at-large district. Peltola's win flips a seat that had long been in Republican hands. She will serve the remainder of a term left open by the sudden death of Representative Don Young in March. A Young represented Alaska in Congress for... Jeremy, do you know how long he was there? He was there for 49 years. 49 years. Incredible. He actually served the people of Alaska very well and helped bring them lots and lots of pork, which is, again, part of what Congress people do if they're successful. Peltola, who is Yup'ik, which is a native Alaskan designation, she is a tribal fisheries manager and former state representative who led in the initial counts after the August 16th election. But her win wasn't assured until Wednesday, when Alaska officials made decisive second choice counts using the state's new ranked choice voting system. Republican Nick Begich III, who finished third, was eliminated, and his supporters' second-choice votes were distributed to the remaining candidates. Okay, the way this system is supposed to work, and it is as Sarah Palin has said, and she said this before she lost, that it was a cockamamie system, and she is right about that. It is a system whereby
you actually get to vote four times, ideally. If there are four candidates who clear the primary, the top four in terms of the votes they get make it into the general election. And then in the general election, every voter gets to vote for four candidates, and you're supposed to rank them. This is my number one, this is my number two, this is my number three, this is my number four. Okay, there's no fourth here because the fourth guy, whose name was Al Gross, did the Gross thing and dropped out. He was an independent. So it left one Democrat and two Republicans. And the Democrat, neither the Democrat nor either of the Republicans got more than 50% of the vote. So that means they start looking at the votes of the third place finisher. The third place finisher was Nick Begich, a Republican. He finished third. Sarah Palin finished second. The Democrat finished first. But see, what happens is they then distribute the votes that had originally gone to the third place finisher, and they see if that actually where those votes go. And what happened with those votes is they were evenly split enough because the Republicans failed to do something that everybody had told them to do. Kevin McCarthy had talked about this. Everybody else concerned with the Republican Party is what they needed to do is to get people to, okay, vote for one of the Republicans, vote for Sarah Palin or vote for Nick Begich, and then vote again for the next Republican, a second choice. But they didn't do that because the campaign was so nasty between Nick Begich and Sarah Palin. Pearl Tola, the Democrat, had nearly 40% of first choice votes after preliminary counts, which put her about 16,000 votes ahead of Palin. Half of the Alaskans who made Begich their first choice ranked Palin second, and 21% did not make a second choice. The remaining 29%, a surprisingly large fraction even to some of Peltola's supporters, ranked Peltola second, flipping from a Republican to a Democrat. In other words, if you took the votes that that Nick Begich had, about a third of them went to Peltola, the Democrat, and that's why she ended up winning, despite the fact that Begich and Palin together ended up with about 60% of the votes. The Democrat actually won over Palin because of this ranked choice system by 5,200 votes. And the Post writes, Washington Post, Palin's defeat comes in her first campaign since she stepped down as Alaska's governor in 2009. A former President Donald Trump endorsed her enthusiastically and held the rally on her behalf in Anchorage. The rally is something to watch. Look, part of this goes back to Sarah Palin's decision, which clearly counted against her. She had been elected governor of Alaska, and she was viewed as a rising star. I actually got some credit at the time, because long before Senator McCain had chosen her as his running mate, I had made a list of potential running mates, and I was the only one, I think, in the country who included Sarah Palin, because she was great on TV, and she seemed to be an enthusiastic maverick, which was part of what John McCain was trying to sell. In any event, McCain picked her. The vice presidential nomination didn't work out, though she became a celebrity, and she attracted a lot of energy and excitement to the McCain campaign that otherwise wouldn't have been there. And but then after that campaign was over, and shortly after, she resigned as governor. And she resigned as governor because she was a celebrity and she had her own TV show. She had, I think, three different reality shows at different times. She had best-selling books. She had a baby at home, if you'll recall, and a special needs baby, which was part of her situation. In any event, her comeback is put on hold. Now, let me say, they will have a rematch. Sarah Palin will be running in the this is a special election, which will allow Peltola, the Democrat, to serve in Congress up until January, and I think it's January 7th is the date that the new Congress is sworn in. But in November, before that, while Peltola is still the incumbent, they'll be having another election. And it's unclear, it seems to me. I think Nick Begich may be a candidate again. But in one of the most Republican states in the union and the largest state in land area, so this congressperson in Alaska represents more territory than any other congressperson in the country. And I'll tell you why else it's so important, is that one of the things that President Trump was trying to do in the election was to get the election thrown into the House of Representatives. If you ever have an election come up where no candidate gets the 270 electoral votes you need for a majority, then under the Constitution, and this has happened twice, it happened in 1800 and happened in 1824, the election gets thrown to the House of Representatives. And in that situation, every state gets one vote. So this Alaska seat, this one seat, which is the only seat Alaska gets, actually controls an entire state, 1/50th of what you need. Actually, it's 1/26th of what you need to be elected president of this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Fred Dreyer here for the product I use and love, Balance7.com. Are you suffering with heartburn? Get relief from Balance 7. You know, most people are able to go back to eating the foods they enjoy with Balance 7. Please don't be stubborn. This really works. You're just a sip away from enjoying the foods you like. Try Balance 7 with a money-back guarantee. Are you experiencing fatigue and brain fog? So many people complain that in the afternoon, their energy seems to disappear and the brain becomes foggy. Balance 7 neutralizes the acids in your body. This aids your digestion. The energy from food is more effective, and afternoon brain fog fades away. Balance 7 is the answer. Go to Balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Mention the code word FRED and get $10 off your order. Call 800-793-9039 and mention the code word FRED. Get heartburn relief and more with my favorite, Balance7.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP. As slim as possible.